Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are we doing, everybody? Let me know if you can hear me. Let me know if you can see me. And good morning, good evening, and buenos dias to everyone. Welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel. Hi, I'm Ron Swanson, and this is the Daily News Flash. I hope you're all having a good day. We've had a great week so far, and apologies about the infrequent scheduled starting. We will be back to normal over the next few days, thankfully. And I hope you're all doing well. It's a girl, for those who missed it. Tiny Ron is a girl. So very, very excited. Fantastic couple of days. And yeah, we've got a massive show today and a lot to get through. And I'm thinking now I should probably start with a fluff just because of the algorithm, because we're going to talk about some spicy things today. Congratulations, congratulations. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How are you doing, Shane? What's happening, mate? What is happening, everybody? Guanita, Liz, Nikki, Eric, what is happening? Spangles, what is happening? Mrs. Armstrong, good to see you. Amy, what is happening, everybody? I hope we're all having a good day. So, where do we begin? Where do we begin? Let's start with some fluff, right? Let's start with some good, easy, algorithmic fluff. Wembley Stadium bans fans without tickets as security is kept tight for Taylor Swift. I mean, you obviously, with the amount of threats, there was literally a terrorist attack thwarted against Taylor Swift. And it's no surprise that security is being stepped up. A lot of crowds gather, right? A lot of crowds gather outside Taylor's concert, outside most concerts, just so they can hear it, you know. But Swifties. Do you know, we've actually got a very odd story about that substance coming up today, Eric. Funny you should mention it. A bit of a blurry picture. Yeah, it says that I'm getting a... It says that there's a network issue. If it continues, if the screen's still iffy, let me know. I'll go and check the router down the stairs. Sometimes I come in and I throw my jacket on the couch and it covers the router and it starts melting. That's the error gone now. So we should be good. I'm at the doctor's. Okay. That's just Paula giving me an update here. No problemo. So again, not major news, okay? It's major news for me, all right? It's major news, it's Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift fans congregate in masses alongside outside the open-air venues has become, as part of the Eners tour, as friendship bracelets and surprise acoustic songs. But amid the tightened security after suspected terror plot at Taylor Swift concert in Vienna, Wembley Stadium has announced it will move any fans who gather outside. That kind of sucks. For a lot of the Swifties, I'm not going to lie. Because when I left the concert, there was loads of people gathering outside. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just part of the culture, like they say. Again, fluff, we're getting to the fluff. All right, who here has heard of a pig butcher scam? Anyone, put a one in the side chat if you know what a pig butcher scam is. Because this is a mad one. So anyone who gets any DMs or messages about crypto scams, this is the latest sort of crypto scam that's going about. So it's called a pig butchering scam. You guys will know it as, you know, the kind of standard catfishing, right? But instead of romantic pursuit, it's financial pursuit. And this is a mad one. So this was one BBC reporter who got sucked into a pig butchering scam. And it starts off like this, as you can see on the screen. You know, introducing yourself through, you know, the classic catfish, all right? Except it's all geared towards cryptocurrency scams. And, you know, it's interesting. I know a few people who are tied up in some weird crypto things, right? And it makes you wonder how they got sucked into it. Because the way that they get you trapped is obviously they build this foundation of the relationship. And then they start sending you bait, which is images of their success. So, for example, you're going to see an image in a minute or two about a Bitcoin wallet. And obviously, you know, you have this nice tie. You have this connection. She's showing you her finances. She just wants to help. So this is the new version of the Prince of Nigeria email scam, where they're just repackaging how they want you to part with your money. And we often don't really think about the tactics that change, that make people part with their stuff, with their cash. You know what I mean? And this is certainly one to be aware of. So guys, and I'm only saying guys because it happened to a guy, and girls, just be wary of any friends you make online that suddenly start telling you how lucrative, yes, like a honey trap, but with bit. Yeah, exactly. Be very, 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 very wary of, again, it doesn't even have to be romantic. It could be friendship based. It could be anything like that. And the scams just get more sophisticated. It was really funny because I can tell a scam when it comes in my DMs, you know, 99% of the time. And I remember last year there was a sugar mama scam going around. And this woman would DM you and be like, hey, I don't want to talk to you about anything naughty. I just want to send people money. I'm a sugar mama. And I was like, brilliant, mate. This is brilliant. So I started screen recording everything. And then it got to the point, I was just waiting for it to get to the point where she was going to ask me for money. And of course, it came. She's like, you know, listen, I just deposited this into your account. You need to pay this amount of money to get it unleashed. And it was funny. And within about 2 days, there was a guy from the bare knuckle boxing community who posted a video who had been scammed by this scammer. And yeah, it just shows you how easy these things can happen to people, especially when if they're on their arse. If you're flat, broken skin and the prospect of a sugar mama, you know, some people get sucked in pretty hard by that stuff. Now, are you prepared to feel old? Are you prepared to feel old? Because the Matrix is 25 years old. And they have a 25th anniversary remake, I guess. But 25 years, man. I remember, I must have been Christmas 99. Was it Christmas 99? I think it was Christmas 99. And this was like, oh, man. If you got a DVD player for Christmas that year and you got The Matrix on DVD, it was all happening. Okay. It was all happening. But 25 years old. What? What? 25 years old. So yeah, congratulations. Anyone who is in the club of remembering that. Does anybody in the side chat, right? Were you, is anyone in the side chat younger than The Matrix? Anyone under 25 here, just out of curiosity, because I can't imagine that there will be. But how massive was this freaking movie? Like, do you all remember how massive this movie was? People were losing their goddamn minds. And, you know, it was the first time we'd seen bullet time developed for movies. And it's kind of mad to think back now. how sort of unsophisticated that is. You know, it was a set of still cameras in a circle, all green screened up. Yes, Shane, you are indeed 21. I'm 21, you see. Okay, cool. So, trust me, Iwi, it was a big, it was hype, man. There was hype. Nokia brought out a phone. It was a madness. All right, guys. Please, please, please share the stream. Let's get it out there. We're going to get to the good stuff in a minute or two. Well, not the good stuff, but the meat, shall we say. Because, in fact, no. We're going to enjoy the news. We're going to enjoy the news and then get on to this. All right, so we've got some pretty incredible moments within nature that have taken place. We've had meteor showers. We've had the Northern Lights. I want to go back to a Nokia. Do you know what, right? Ron, my mum is 36. My G, Carl. My G. Do you remember like how mind blown we all were when Nokia brought out those plastic covers that would change the color of your Nokia? Just epic, man. Snake, you know, no social media in the way that it is now. It's good times. It's good times. It was good times. All right. Oh my God. So Dan, my lovely Dan has moments, right? Where her brain just stops functioning for a split second. And I remember I was talking to her about gnocchi, right? The Italian delicious pasta dumpling that is gnocchi. And she was so confused because she was convinced I was talking about Nokias. Mother of my child, ladies and gentlemen, mother of my child. Okay, so we had a meteor shower. The Perseids meteor shower, which NASA describes as the best meteor shower over the year, peaked overnight on Monday. And we like a bit of nature here. We're definitely going to have to put up with an advert. So let me just turn off. Oh, we don't. Freaking, let's go. What is going on with this? All right. So here we go. Look at all those tiny little strips of light. Look at the, I mean, that. That is like full on nature. I mean, Yorkshire. Look at that. Look at them over Stonehenge, man. I mean, look. Oh my God. Aha. Uh-huh. Yes. That can't be a real photograph, surely. That can't be a real photograph. That is up there with like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Look at that. That can't be a real photo. Is that a real photo? Composite photograph. What does that mean? Taken two days earlier, this composite photograph was neat here. So is it taken in bits? Is that what that means? When was the first BlackBerry manufactured? Like mainstream-wise. I mean, I'm sure BlackBerry were making stuff that was under the BlackBerry label before BlackBerries became the shizness. But it went Nokia, BlackBerry, and then smartphones just came and just absolutely just laid waste to all of the things before that. I'll tell you what. Okay. Who out there had a pager? Okay. A pager. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Hang on. Yeah, I don't know, mate. Nothing to do with me. Shane, I'd assume your message there. I don't know. I do not know. But just beautiful. I mean, absolutely beautiful. Here is the composite image again. So I imagine it was taken over a few nights. And as well, it looks like daytime here, but if you know, obviously you know about photography and apertures and things like this, this will be a long exposure image. I had a pager for work. Nah, man, not for work. Work pagers don't count. Work pagers do not count. We're talking, I went out and spent my money on a pager. And then if you wanted to get a hold of me, someone had to phone a number, speak to a nice lady on the other end, who would then type the message in for it to send to my pager. Mad. Do you know what it is? It's kind of like, you know, when you go and you watch a movie and it's in that period in time where there was people sat in rooms, like unplugging what looked like guitar amplifier cables in and out the wall to connect calls to each other. It's kind of like the text message version of that. Do you know what I mean? The text message version of that. So, all right. Meteors. Cool. All right. This is a warning for everyone in the UK. Apparently, right, we need to all like pour water in our wheelie bins because of like flies and maggots. Apparently. So I imagine there'll be some people out in the US who are very familiar with like hot heat wave, beasties, eggs, all that kind of shizness, I would imagine, because, you know, it's hot. But yeah, we're being warned to do that. I mean, who cares, man? I mean, if your wheelie bin is full of fucking maggots and someone has to tell you to clean it out, like, there's something going on. There's definitely something going on. All right, so we're going to start moving into some more serious topics in just a minute or two. I just want to make sure you guys like and subscribe. Please make sure you share the stream. I used to work voice to text company. I'm with you. I wash my bins, my G. You're not an adult till 25, pretty much. I thought it was a speckled bin. Yes, the speckled bin of maggoty madness. Yes, my G. Vern, my guy. Tell these people about the midges. Am I right? Have you ever seen a saber-toothed tiger, right? That is what the head of a midgie looks like, all right? It's like a saber-toothed tiger, and there's trillions of them, and it's almost like, right, they're all kind of just chilling in the middle. They're just kind of doing their midgie thing, right? And then carbon monoxide starts coming out your breath, man, that carbon monoxide. Is that what attracts them? It's something like that. What are midges? Are, have you seen a pterodactyl? Imagine a pterodactyl, right, with a saber-toothed tiger head, okay? And there's thousands of them, okay? And they're about this size. They're tiny. I mean, they're like this size, right? Like, I've went into the woods. Eric, am I right or am I wrong, right? You can go out for a nice day, okay? And then come back like patient frickin' zero from some sort of flesh-eating virus documentary, right? Or movie, because of all like the little bite lumps that you'll have all over your face. It's mad. How big are they? Mad. They're about the size of American football, tiny little wings, saber-toothed tiger head, body of a pterodactyl. Mad. Yeah, no, they're not. They're tiny. They are. They're tiny. They are tiny McTinations. See, mosquitoes, right? Mosquitoes are a lot bigger. At least a mosquito, right? You can kind of understand how much of a pain in the arse they are. At least you can see a chunk of it. Midges are just... We don't like the midges. They can ruin a day instantly. Fire, they hate fire. They hate the smoke. They hate all of that. So, fire. You can see a mosquito, yeah. Well, you can see midges too, right? But for example, it's just so funny, right? So, Dan, my lovely Dan, right? He and I went on a lovely walk in the first year of our relationship, right? And she got herself all glammed up. I mean, full. She looked fantastic, right? But I'm like, babe, we're going to the reservoir. We're going to walk around the reservoir with a dog. And she's like, doesn't matter. Got to look fabulous, right? And we're walking, right? And there's this freaking gray cloud halfway down the path. And I know what it is. I know that's midges waiting. Okay. Trillions of midges waiting for their harvest. All right. So we're walking towards them and they kind of scarper, you know, they fly, they kind of all fly away and then they kind of come after you. And I turned and looked at poor Dan and like her eyelashes had caught a couple of them and there was a bunch like stuck here. And then she had her lip gloss. There was a bunch stuck on there. And that was the last time she wore makeup to the reservoir. Yeah. The fact, the only other reservoir story I've got about my wonderful Dan is we're walking the dog up there and it was summer and it was a beautiful day. And we're walking around with the dog. Let me remove the maggot picture from here. Let's go back to Taylor Swift. Brilliant. So we're walking around and it is absolutely piping hot. I mean, it is piping hot. We are dressed accordingly for it being piping hot, right? Vern will tell you, in Scotland, as soon as it gets over 26 degrees, people phoning in sick to work jumps by about 40%. People congregate on any, you know, plateau of grass that they can find. It's the way we do it. So Dan, poor Dan, we're in the middle of the woods, and it was like a biblical rain shower happened, right? Oh, yeah, Vern, if you're at Loch Humphrey, then yeah, you see, I've got city midges, right? I've got like the, we've tried to eradicate the midgie, city midgie. Vern, you're on like 12th generation Scottish bad boy midges. They'll be badass up there, is what I'm saying. Because we've just got those city midges, man. You've got those like free air, free roaming bad boy midges. So anyway, Dan, we're up there. Oh man, the ADHD is real. So we're up at the reservoir and the rain started and it was like you could see these droplets of water. And I mean, it was thunder started happening and the lightning started happening. The rain is coming down. The noise was unreal. And Dan hates Star Wars, so I haven't watched anything Star Wars related, right? And she literally picked up her coat, put it over her head, and went running out of the woods, screaming, "Let's just go home and watch Star Wars." Not a particularly funny joke. I realize now you have to be there. But yeah, my wonderful Dan and the joys that we have at the reservoir. All right, let's get into some reality checks here. So I've got an interesting point of discussion. And I want you to tell me how you guys feel. We've heard a lot of stuff about false news, about false narratives. Hang on a second. Hang on a minute, people. Okay, so you may have heard a lot of people talking about things like two-tiered policing, all right? The riots, everything that's been going on in the UK since those girls and other people were stabbed, okay? It's been mad, it's been horrendous, and there's been a lot of talk about two-tiered policing. And there was something that was brought up about a Manchester airport attack. And I'll be honest with you, I had seen parts of this that were kind of the mainstream clip. And I'll be honest with you, I was convinced it was something to do with an officer kicking someone in the head. And I mean, that was the footage I seen, was a policeman kicking some guy in the head when he was on the ground. And, you know, it is what it is, pretty mad. But I seen the full footage today. Okay? I seen the full footage today. And I genuinely do not understand what the hell is going on. All right? So we've got 1, 2, and possibly three or possibly three police officers at Manchester Airport who are going to try and talk to this gentleman here and his mother. And I believe that it's two male officers and a female officer. The footage has been out for a while, dude. This is not new. Okay? This is not new. This footage is new to me. I hadn't seen this until I'd seen it the other day. And I just need you to watch this, all right? So we've got the three officers, possibly a fourth officer here, approaching this man. And I'm going to shut up and just play this. I mean, what is going on? Like, I'm sorry, right? Did you see him kick him at the end there? There you go. Right. So that was not the footage that was out originally. And sure, right? He booted the guy in the face. That's pretty bad, okay? So does that mean that all of the assaults that took place on the other officers are suddenly non-existent? Let's watch it again. Let's watch this again, all right? Now, you know, when it comes to military police or when it comes to airports, it always seems to be a little bit more tense with the security, the police, all of that stuff. I feel like they all take it a bit, they're all a bit more hands-on. And I believe that when they approach this guy, I feel like he falls into the realm of tensing up or provoking the sort of resisting of arrest or something. Let's just watch this again. Goes up to him, and then this dude here just comes out of nowhere and just goes mad. And the police are separated. He knocks out one, bang, knocks out, I think these are two female officers as well, comes in for him, gets him right behind the ear, and then bang, tasered right here. And I believe these were Pakistani tourists who'd come in to see their mum. And I mean, kicking someone in the face, bad, right? So let's do this on a fair play system. So let's say all the punches to this guy's face are now null and void because he kicked him in the face, right? All right, and we're just having a conversation here. Okay, so one crime, deleting the other crime. All right, let's see how many other crimes take place here. Okay, so there's one crime there, and there's another crime. That's not a crime. That's not a crime. That's not a crime. That's not a crime. And then this crime will cancel out. Okay, we'll give him this one because he gets to kick him in the head. So punching someone from behind, kicking someone in the head, let's just delete them. You can hear prawn. No. Well, check your system, my G. Check your system, because interesting. So does that now mean, whereas this is Manchester Airport, okay, Manchester Airport, he started to come around from the taser, so he kicked him. See, again, I don't know what police training is, but once you subdue the dude, right, probably shouldn't kick him in the head. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not about people who have been, what's the word I'm looking for? Who've been not sedated, have been neutralized, right? He's been neutralized, okay? So I almost feel like he didn't realize the guy had been tased and he booted him in the head. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, Ash, we're going to play a game in a minute called What Has Happened to the Offenders? In fact, Ash, do you know what? Let's start now. What has happened to the offenders? Before we find out, Ash, let's have a look at something else, because this is all relevant. I also want to point out this is not what I'm looking for. Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Because I want this other bit of footage, and I've obviously forgot to add it to my list, so I need to go back into YouTube library and just pull it out of my stuff from yesterday.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Come on. Come on. What are we looking at? This is the one. Here we go. Okay, this is the footage I seen, right? Now, keeping in mind what you just seen was the full events taking place. This is what was going around the media in the UK.
Stop kicking people! In the court! The f*** you do that at night!
Like, it kind of paints a different picture, right? And then this was a different occasion as well, where we had another incident taking place. But it's wild, okay? So, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, obviously, we've got a couple of sets of crimes here, right? We've got this guy here, who assaulted at least one police officer, brutally assaulted one police officer. Then we have this guy here who assaulted at least two female officers, breaking one of their nose. And then we had another assault on this guy. But we'll give him that and we'll take away the kick to the head. One, two, we've got a whole situation going on here. In the UK currently, the right-wing protesters, who, by the way, are being declared as new HITLERs in some media, okay, they're going through a 24-hour to 72-hour court system. We had a 12-year-old be arrested and charged. We have had 3- and 4-year jail sentences handed down that have gone from arrest to court to bye in 72 hours. This is 2 weeks old, this case. These three gentlemen, or the two gentlemen and their mother. Well, here you go. Let's have a little update. This is their lawyer, mate.
In relation to the investigation, the IOPC are involved, and I've just...
When can anyone tell me how many of the lawyers for any of the individuals who were arrested for apparently being super right-wing NIZIs, N-A-Z, bad, right? None of that. Interesting, isn't it?
It's finished with a meeting from them. The family are okay, but they are traumatized. Mohammed Fahir, his medical condition has worsened since...
Okay, so Mohammed Fahir, apparently he had a clot in his brain and this kind of stuff. So again, let's just go back 1 second, okay? Man who knows he has a brain condition. All right. That's this guy in the blue knows he's got a brain condition. Resists arrest. And then proceeds to physically batter two women. So we're all making a fuss about the Olympics, right? We're all making a fuss about the Olympics and the boxing. But apparently, if your situation lines up perfectly, you can batter two policewomen in Manchester Airport. Be put on, I don't even think they're on bail, okay? I think they're possibly on bail, but they're out. They're free. And there was protests held outside of the police station where all this happened, rightfully so. But we cannot be cancelling out what triggered this all happening. Violence, directed violence towards the staff, the police, the security, the airport freaking police, whatever you have they're called. These individuals are here obviously doing their job. And again, when it comes to airports, when it comes to places where there's a higher population of people that are turning over, I always feel like there's a higher heightened sense of policiness. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just policemen shouldn't have kicked the guy. Whole situation shouldn't have happened. But a policeman doing this does not cancel out what these men did. If anything, it sends a picture. It sends a message, okay, that possibly there is a multi-segmented, multi-step system when it comes to our policing. Because if we've got video footage, like in the riots, video footage of someone assaulting a police officer, and they can get a 3-year jail sentence in a 72-hour court, What message are we being sent? I'm confused. I'm very, very confused. And then we talk about the deadliness of misinformation. Now, I want to just do a little experiment with all you people. I want you to type in the side chat recently what comes to your brain when I say spreading of misinformation, okay? What sort of individuals do you think that has affected? Because I noticed some stuff. So here's the thing. I'm not special, okay? I don't believe this country's immigration system is working. I don't believe that the government is working. I don't necessarily believe that being part of the UK is working. And when we have got people being arrested for tweets, racist tweets. Now, anyone who's being racist and spreading hate, bad times, okay? We've had 4,000 people arrested and charged with thought police crimes in this country. Gonna let that settle in for a second. 4,000 people arrested and charged for things they've posted on Twitter. Gonna let that sink in. Now, I'm stealing these stats from Joe Rogan, or I'm stealing these statistics from Joe Rogan. But Russia, how many people do you think in Russia have been arrested for the same crime? Okay, tweets. Okay, tweets and posts on social media. 4,000 in the UK. How many in Russia? Russia, the big censorship monster that it is. How many? Come on. I'll wait. Ray J. 200. Now, sure, I'm pretty sure in Russia, you'll probably go to the gulag and then never be seen again. And in this country, you might get a fine, right? I'm sure the deterrents are kind of different, right? But what is that telling us? America. How does this make you feel? Come on. America, come on. Are you reading this? Because this is where you're at now, okay? The British thought police will push to extradite you, to jail you for your opinions online. Read it up, people. New York Post. I am going to fire this into the side chat for the simple reason that, oh no, we've beaten the ad blocker. London Metropolitan Police has warned officials officials will not only be cracking down on British citizens for commentary on the riots in the UK, but American citizens as well, specifically on the riots. Interesting. Wait until I get to my point with all this. You're all going to be like, oh, god damn. We will throw the full force of the law at people, and whatever you're whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from furthering a field from further afield online. Crimes? Committing crimes? Different succulent Chinese meal? We will come after you. Okay, so here's the fun part, guys. We've spoken about this before. Racism, bad. Hate, bad. Violence, you know, spreading things that are going to cause violence, all bad, all right? But the problem is, when a law is passed that limits our free speech, that it's the terminology they use. So who defines what anxiety is? Who defines what a racist comment is? Who defines what dangerous comments about a riot in another goddamn country are? Because they're worded in a way that can be weaponized against us all. Okay? And for some reason, they love using topics like racism, okay? Which is a fucking horrible thing. But can you imagine trying to be the guy who's putting forward the argument as to why the guy who's trying to put forward legislation to ban racist tweets is a bad guy without coming off like a crazy Nazi? It's incredibly clever how they go about this. And 4,000 people in the UK. And they're now threatening America to shut up. Shut up, America. Okay? Don't be sticking your nose in other countries' businesses. Ironic! Or what? Mad. Mad. So, let's carry on in my little rant. We've got the possible tiered system. I mean, I say possible because, you know, it's YouTube. We've got this supposed tiered system of policing in this country. We have got madness breaking out all over the country. And anyone who is not stood on the left side has now been declared a racist Nazi. Now, one moment. I seen a post in the New York Times that stated, and I want you to understand, this is what it stated. All of the riots in the UK have been organized by the EDL and Nazi groups. That's the misinformation. That's the dangerous misinformation no one gives a shit about, because it's white people who aren't necessarily Nazis. It's brown people who have been in this country for years. It's black people who have been in this country for years, who consider them all British, standing on a side who have had enough of seeing their country being ravaged and destroyed, abuse taking place to our children, our women. This isn't a white issue. This is a British thing. And to label everyone as a Nazi is as dangerous as mislabeling a little boy or a young adult who stabbed a bunch of children as a Muslim. What you're instilling in people's brains is that if they're on the other side of the fence, they are all evil Nazis, and that to me is the most dangerous thing to come out of this. I don't care what anyone else says. To label everyone who's standing up for what they believe in, and I'm not talking about the violence, I'm talking about the people who are stood on the same side as the part where that has taken place. Every one of us now labeled under one blanket. It is going to terrify people. It is going to scare off so many people for standing up and being heard. Do not fall victim to this false narrative. Trust me, this is not a racist issue. It's a dumbass government who doesn't seem to want to listen issue. All right. So, multi-possible system of policing, 72-hour courts, a different take on what can only be a declaration of war on this country. Don't be misguided. There are individuals who are coming to this land, and it's a war for them. We had a 11-year-old girl stabbed 8 times by a Romanian man who is here with no fixed address. He was a white guy. It's not a race issue. It's who we're letting in the front door. That's the issue. All right, next thing, because that was... All right, so what is going off? Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Hang on a second. Yo, nice one, Julia. I'm in the middle of a show. I will call you back as soon as I'm done. Tomorrow is going to blow your minds with Julia's part 4. All new stuff. Mad. Mad. Normalized trebuchets. Okay. All right, so let me do this. Airport, free speech. So we have a government that won't stand by its people who are screaming out for change. Will call us all horrendous names. Please like and share. Like and share right now, please. Please. but we'll still support some friends across the pond, right? Ain't nothing that any of our friends across the pond might be guilty of.
Israel's war on Gaza now, and a video appearing to show Israeli soldiers raping a male prisoner, which has drawn condemnation from Israel's main ally, the United States. The State Department said it had seen the video and called reports of the sexual abuse of detainees.
These are your pals. This is our government pals, right?
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
While others rape the detainee with foreign objects.
Interesting.
The assault lasted more than 10 minutes, and during it, the guards...
Trust me. Our government has no right to label its people anything when this sort of thing is taking place in amongst its allies. Just food for thought, people. Just food for thought. Just pop that back up one more time as well. We'll just let that just sit in there. All right. Who's ready for another terrifying possible germy pandemic? Put your hands up. Okay. Urban birds are teeming with antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Yeah, gulls and crows are known to lurk in landfill sites where antimicrobial resistant bacteria can thrive. Great. I mean, great. So bird flu, right? That's a thing. That's a thing that happened, right? That was a thing. I mean, I don't really know much about it, but I know birds, bird flu, antibacterial, bacterial. None of this sounds good, okay? The last time, Shane, you'll remember, the last time I was covering germiness was when a few people were dropping down in China of a certain flu. Do you know what I'm saying? And I was like, nah, I gotta be all right. Oh, well. So I'm not saying it's, I'm just saying, I'm just fear mongering you all. I'm not going to lie. I'm just saying, right. Urban ducks, crows might offer us a connection to nature, but scientists have found out wild birds live near humans are more likely to harbor bacteria resistant to important antibiotics. What does this all mean? Antimicrobial resistance, AMR, is largely caused by the overuse of drugs such as antibiotics in humans and livestock. Well, we all know about that. The issue is serious concerns, according to data from 2019, about 4.95 million deaths globally are associated with bacterial AMR, including 1.27 directly caused by such resistance. Not good. Researchers say the species of wild birds that tend to turn up in urban settings are reservoirs for bacteria with hallmarks of resistance to a host of drugs. Basically, what we are seeing are the genes that confer resistance to antimicrobials that would be used to treat human infections. Okay, yeah, well, we get that. I mean, it's fairly straightforward what antibacterial microbes means, okay? Okay, the author suggests that wild birds may pick up antibacterial-resistant bacteria in a number of ways. Gulls, crows, for example. Okay, all right. Okay, what are the consequences? What are the consequences of that for the birds? Excuse me a second. Excuse me. What are the consequences for the birds? We don't really know, but it seems like we humans are responsible for this change. Listen, I've seen enough movies to know what this means. Okay. I think we've all seen enough movies to know what this means. I mean, I don't, but it's interesting. Because obviously we think about rubbish tips, big bacterial forming mounds of mess. It's fascinating to think what could come from all of that bacterial growth over the next however many bagillion years. And it's a bit mad. It's a bit mad. So we're just going to keep an eye on this to see what it could turn into. But anything resistant to antibiotics scares me. So we're going to keep an eye on it. Now, this is mad. Where is this from? This is from New Zealand. How messed up is this? New Zealand charity unknowingly gives out sweets with lethal doses of METH. Up to 400 people received parcels that could contain contaminated lollies as police open an criminal investigation. How messed up is this? A charity working with homeless people in Auckland, New Zealand, unknowingly distributed sweets filled with potentially lethal dose of methamphetamine. Now, if you're giving out parcels to the homeless, right? And then a bunch of homeless people die of meth overdose. How big an investigation are the police doing into that? Like, Vern, imagine a bunch of homeless people died of the brown H drug in Scotland. No one's investigating that. Oh, he must have been a substance abuser. Dunzo. Could you imagine, right? How many people could have done this throughout history to charities dealing with the homeless? That's so messed up. So it was put in food parcels after the items were donated by a member of the public. Auckland City Mission told reporters on Wednesday that the staff had started to contact the 400 people to track down the parcels that could contain these sweets, which were solid blocks of meth enclosed in lollipop wrappers. In New Zealand's police have opened a criminal investigation. Okay, put in the side chat a one. If this is an assassin, like somebody who planned to kill these people, put a two in the side chat. If somebody was holding the substance for someone else and their mum has like inadvertently donated it. So killer or complete blunder by I'm not being funny, right? We're all adults here. Nobody's ever went to a place that somebody who sells a substance and they've got the substance made into a freaking lollipop wrapped up in paper. All right? That is a madness. So to me, this seems like a more deliberate act, right? It's wild, dude. It is wild. The amount of meth in each suite was 300 times the level someone would usually, one homeless guy, right, who has been on it for like the last 30 years, had the time of his freaking life. Okay. I'm just saying. There's going to be one guy in New Zealand right now licking away on that lollipop, like, this is where it's at for me. The rest of them, terrifying. Okay, so according to the New Zealand Drug Foundation, the Drug Checking and Policy Organization, which first tested the lollies, Ben Burks, a foundation spokesperson, said, disguising drugs as innocuous goods, it was very common to cross the border, smuggling technique. Yeah, of course, the sweets had a high street value of £1,600 a lolly. So hang on a second, what's 400 times? That seems like a lot. 400 times $608. That's $250,000. Oh, this is interesting. All right, because who's spending $250,000 to just do this? Which suggested that the donation made by an unknown member of the public was an accidental rather than a deliberate attack. What do you think now that we've got that little bit of knowledge? Anyone wanting to change from a one to a two? The city commissioner, Helen Robinson, said 8 families, including at least one child, had reported to consume the contaminated sweets. It's not contaminated sweets. It's a solid block. Stop saying contaminated sweet. Contaminated sweet would be like, oh no, I accidentally dusted all the lollies with that powdered meth that I've got lying around the kitchen. That's contaminated. Okay. Like, for example, if you're a vegan, right, and you go into a restaurant and you find out that like some pork fat dripped on your vegan meal, contaminated. If I bring you out a pork chop, would you still consider it contaminated, or would you just consider it a freaking pork chop? Okay. No one has been hospitalized. Thank God. I'm telling you, man. Like, there's two types of kids out there. There's the kids that will, like, you know, take a lolly and suck on a lolly, and then there's the kids that will crunch their lolly into 1,000 pieces straight away. Just okay. It sounds really, that was a really weird analogy, but you know what I'm saying. The charity's food bank only accepts donations of commercially produced food in a sealed packaging. Interesting. The pineapple sweets stamped with the label Malaysian brand Rinda appeared as such as they were donated, arriving in a retail size bag, she added. Okay. So it definitely sounds smuggly to me. Do you know what I mean? Rinda said that in the written statement that the company had learned through New Zealand news reports that sweets may have been misused and would cooperate with authorities. We want to make it clear that Rinda Food Industries does not use or condone any illegal drugs in our products. Uh-huh. Well, someone is, Rinda. All right. Oakland City Mission was alerted on choosing the food bank. Yeah, okay, well, we know all this. How mad is that? Like, how mad is that? Do you think that all over New Zealand, all of the addicts are like running around trying to find Rinda sweets just to see? How did it get to the homeless? It was through a mission. So a charity, Gwinita, that takes in food, makes up, food parcels, like a food bank, for example, if you know the term food bank. It sounds like something like that, but they specifically dealt with the homeless. Here's the sad thing. Is this going to inspire people to do this sort of mad shit? Do you know what I mean? I've never heard of anything like that. I'm leaning... The simple amount, the fact that it was solid and it was pure, right? Makes me think it was a massive smuggling blunder. Do you know what I mean? Like, Sheila, right? Nips over to wherever, you know, that it was made on holiday, buys herself a bag of the real sweets, smuggles back a big bag of the fake sweets, and then literally hands over the real sweets to the cartel, and off she pops down to the local mission to hand over her gift. That's what I think happened. That's what I think. That's what I'm calling. I'm calling it. I'm calling that. All right, ladies. So this is a bit of a scary one. Let's have a listen to this.
Violent crimes against women and girls on trains. New figures show violent crimes against women and girls on trains have jumped by more than 50% in 2 years. Let's bring in Sadia Chowdhury, who's in the newsroom for us this morning with this story. Sadia, break down what sounds like some shocking statistics.
Yeah, it's really grim reading this morning, looking at these figures, which come from British Transport Police. They're looking at their data over a number of years, and they've compiled that into the 2024 report. And actually, some of those statistics are quite concerning. So as you say, the numbers of attacks on women that have more than doubled since 2021. And by the way, some of these numbers weren't very low to begin with. So in 2021, the number of sexual harassment reports were 7,561. That's now jumped to 11,357. Sexual offences jumped by 20%. Sexual harassment, as I say, reports doubled. That's catcalling, touching, pressing, upskirting, indecent exposure, all on the rise. Women facing so much of that.
What the hell is going on? Like, I mean, it's a train, mate. Why is there a subculture of train weirdo now? Is there nowhere women can just chill? Right, I'm not being funny. I was raised by two women, right? And I'm really pleased to say that in this country, at least, there's been some laws made on unsolicited PP pictures being sent, and also the old revenge adult material. Serious, serious mandatory terms for the revenge stuff in Scotland. It's epic, right? But what is going on? Like, I use the train. Is it just a bunch of women getting sexually harassed on trains that I don't know about? Because I've been on trains. Surely, this is a madness. Let's just keep going.
That on trains on British railways. And separate crime data suggests that most of these assaults occur during the evening rush hour and at times when trains are the most busiest and packed. Now, if you think that's an indication
No, you don't, none of that in the UK now, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what's mad, right? Did I actually save the segment? I feel like I did. Where is it? All right, maybe I didn't. Maybe I just stole Joe Rogan's statistics. Yeah, I think I did. But this is wild. I mean, 50%. That was thousands of assaults. Thousands and thousands and thousands of assaults. And it's weird because I'm just pulling things out my arse here geographically. South Korea and Japan, I'm pretty sure I've seen major stories where very odd SA, you know, has taken place on trains. It seems to be a weird, and subways. It's odd. But for that's a pretty serious jump. Let's continue watching.
Are reporting these offences more? I'm not too sure about that because the British Transport Police.
11,000. Hang on a minute. I need to do some maths. 11,357 divided by 365. That is 324 assaults a day. Divide that by 24. That's 13 every hour. On a train! 13 every hour. 13 women every hour in the UK are assaulted on a train. That's a bit mad.
Police data suggests that only 1 in 5 people who have witnessed somebody else on a train being a victim of sexual harassment have reported it to the police. Oh. And just over half of women...
Okay, so here's another thing, right? I think we're still in this weird vacuum as a society where people aren't acting when they see things, right? And people tend to act when something horrific is taking place, but when something subtle is happening, or something verbal, or maybe it's, you know, two people who don't know each other at the other end of the room, the cafe, the train, whatever, and there's something odd going on, and we just kind of ignore it, right? We kind of need to be that Karen, okay? We need to be that person who sticks our nose in, makes sure people are okay, gives people, you know, a chance to break away from a situation. But you got to understand, everybody's getting stabbed, okay? Like, you can intervene from a safe distance, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? Like 12 feet, that's close enough, baby. We go COVID. Let's go social distancing, double the distancing, okay? So, you know, you gotta be thinking, because it's a bit mad out here. That could get you beat up. Sure, it could, from a close distance, okay? But I can't not stick my nose in. You're talking to a guy, right, who lived next door to someone who was a serious alcoholic, right? And they had children. And those children, I mean, I remember one night they were hanging out their window, which faced my garden, screaming help, while there was this adult male voice shouting in the house, and I almost kicked their front door in, right? Called the police and just started kicking their door in, and then they answered the door, and the kids were all there, and everything was fine, and the police arrived, and I left. I can't not stick my nose in. Okay? I can't. It's impossible.
Women say that somebody else who watched intervened. So there is all of that, I think, for a lot of witnesses and people who are on trains, users of trains who see such things, are also worried about the attack, being attacked themselves and the risk that that might bring on themselves.
So we've got fears of assault on the trains. We've got mass knife crime going across the city. I will say that in that London stabbing, there was a security guard who literally came running out of the shop, jumped on the knife attacker that had the kid and wrestled him to the ground. So massive respect for that. But I think we could all do a little bit more to look out for each other. And remember, right? They want you separating yourself. They want you not unified. Okay, and by looking out for each other, that's a little step in the right direction for where humanity should be, right? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, look out for each other from a safe distance. Okay, I'll bring out some merch, right? Like a little pole that folds out to about 16 feet. Anyone remember the big chopstick poking stick that they made for Ugly Naked Guy in Friends? Think of that streamlined. And that can be the interference rod. Just give a wee prod. Hey, wait. Hey, what are you doing over there? Are they okay? All right. Good 16 feet with the prodding rod. We're there. We are there, people. But we need to really all be aware of what is going on. And we're going to end the show today talking about a little bit of what I believe all of this is heading towards in the UK. I believe we are heading to a new wave of censorship globally. And I mean, tweets. You're getting arrested and jailed for a tweet. I think we're going to see more of this. I think we're going to see more wokeism being brought into this. I think we're going to start seeing harsher restrictions on your freedom of speech, my freedom of speech, when it comes to online, masked as this defender of the people. We don't want to spread hate. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't want this. We don't want that. Yet it's again one-sided. It's protecting a group as opposed to helping everyone be able to spread information. It is silencing under the guise of being this white knight, when really it is going to be further put in a choke on what people can say, report on, and leaving laws so wide open to interpretation that they will be abused over the coming years and things will only get worse. So let me know what you guys think in the side chat. Let me know what you guys are thinking. Tonight, I am doing a Madeleine McCann show all about the theories behind Madeleine and the car. Why the sniffer dogs pick up what they did, the cadavers, what does it all mean? We're going to be diving into that for an hour later on. So come and join me for that. In fact, let me just auto-transfer you all, unless there's something ahead of me. Hang on. Because that is handy. Oh, I need to fix the thumbnail for this as well. Jesus. That was the only thing in my phone that looked anything related to news. Right. Customization. Oh, no. We've got it heading over to McCann Part 4. So that's fine. That's tomorrow. That's okay. You guys can go and like that up. Make sure you come and join us tonight. Oh, I could have got you the bloody link. Hang on a second. Jesus. I'm telling you, man, I am tired. Oh, there's some new BKFC as well. We do like a bit of bare knuckle boxing, people. We do like it. Right. McCann Theories Part 2, shareable link. And There we go. Sweet. Right. Listen, thank you everyone for being here. I say it every day, but I really appreciate every single one of you who is here supporting me, showing up, you know, enjoying this show and all the rest of it. I think, hang on a second, I am about 90 subscribers off 11,000. So that's a fun thing we're going to push for this week because we like round numbers. So I'm going to post my link as well. Anyone wants to go and subscribe to me, please come and do so. I've got some things planned for my channel for over the weekend. There's a lot to be talking about and a lot to be getting out there. And it's different topics that we cover on here. We go a little bit more hardcore. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you all for being here. Make sure you subscribe to the Sean Atwood channel, and I will see you all in the next one. Thank you very much.